All right, so, you know, I want to laugh a little bit, but we got to laugh because, you know, even though my wife tells me sometimes, hey, Jim, you got to learn how to have a sense of humor, you know. So, let me make sure I got this thing going right. All right, yeah. I wish I was in Alpha PC, but anyway. Anyway, I'm glad that you're here, folks. Hey, it's Friday night. We are here together in our room to hear a word of God, you know, at least whenever I come together with these messages. You know, it does speak to me, and sometimes I have told you I do live these messages. Sometimes I go through these messages. A lot of times I'm inspired. A lot of times these messages may be meant for you. But, folks, this one tonight is going to be wrapping up our series, which I was calling, again, FTB. You know, the first one was, anybody can tell me what the first one was? You want to take a shot at it? You can type it real quick. Oh, I have to tell you. First one was about faith. The second one was about truth. And tonight, we're going to be talking about believing. But believe it or not, all this really ties into the same word, doesn't it? If you really, you know, break it down, if you study it in the Greek, it all really means the same thing. But why I was led this way, I don't know. But folks, I want y'all to think of something. Imagine this. You can close your eyes if you want to or whatever, but just try to imagine this. You're sitting in a room at a table with a few people in a social gathering. And the talk around the table is going a little bit of everywhere and not much of anywhere. Now, somewhere in the conversation between the chatting about dates and world news and general events at your hometown or general events, or, you know, somewhere else, you kind of casually mention a church retreat that you attended last weekend. And all of a sudden, someone asks, "What? You go to church?" Another one asks, "What? You believe in God?" Another really says bluntly, "Huh, I don't believe in God. How can anyone even know there is a God?" Then you listen as everyone talks about how evolution disproves God. How everyone says, you know, it's a big bang. Or everyone says, well, it was just a random cosmic event that just happened. And it went on and on. Finally, you just end up leaving the room feeling defeated. Maybe even wondering if intelligent people really do believe in God. Well, yes, says a Christian writer. Some of you may have heard this guy's name, Paul Little. And he says many intelligent people do believe in God and with a good reason. Now, I looked at his writings. So in his writings from the book, Know Why You Believe, Paul offers some evidence that should not only help strengthen your beliefs, but also give you something to say when the next meeting you're in and the conversation turns towards religion. Now, okay, we'll admit something right off. I will. It is impossible to put God in a test tube or prove him by scientific methods. But that shouldn't cause us to say God is really dead. It shouldn't. Hardly. In fact, my friends, there are many reasons to believe that God is very much alive and active in the universe and in your life. Think about humanity's overall longing for something beyond what we see. It's this longing that causes people to turn to religion for answers. It is significant that studies of the world's culture shows an almost universal belief in a god or gods. Now, I got this written down in little g gods. You know, that's why I put it this way for a reason. But it's not surprising to people
who believe in the Bible. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes refers to God as having set eternity into the hearts of men. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. This, my friends, this inner longing was described, and I might mess this name up, but you know, that's why I look for some reference point. But this longing was described by Blaise Pascal, a great 17th century mathematician, as the God-shaped vacuum in every human being. That's him. Now, obviously, this vacuum isn't conclusive proof. But it is important to remember as we consider other evidence for God's existence. Now, those of you who have your Bibles with you tonight, we got one passage we're going to read to. Turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And it reads this. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Wow. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather together here. Well, each in our rooms, sitting in front of this PC, we got our sound system on, we're listening to this message, whatever it may be, Father. It is by you that you have allowed this type of technology to be used for this kind of event, for us to gather together, for us to fellowship, for us to listen to a message, for us to have Bible studies, for prayers. For whatever reason it is, Father, it's all up to you, because that's proof to me right there that you already built all this for us to have this. But dear God, I ask of you right now if there's anything within my heart that I have not confessed to you, or I allow to creep into my mind, or something that I did and I should have did and it was displeasing you, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Dear Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. But again, as always, week by week, they have made a decision to be here tonight. And Father, I thank you for allowing them to be here tonight, because we are gathered together to come together, to fellowship together, to sharpen each other. And Father, I ask of you, if whatever these messages are for, if it helps me, if it helps them, you know, bless them. And Father, if they got some sicknesses or heartaches or pains or whatever in their lives, be with them and let them know that you love them. Father, we want to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, and we all say this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Now, y'all seen the title, my friends, and this is why the last part of this three-part series is called Believe in God, or focus on the word believe. So you're probably sitting there and you're thinking, so why start this message with a man who cried out saying, Lord, help me with my unbelief? Well, to me, for one, this is what I see, you know, and I know we have to study to prove thyself, but this is what I see when he said this. This man, when he cried out that, he had to step out on faith. He had to trust God and then come to a point that he had to believe in God. Do you see that? Faith, trust, and believing. This is why I'm saying, my friends, the three keys really is actually one, but I call it the three keys to our Christian walk. We have to, you know, allow all of this to tie into us with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we have to have all this based upon our faith, our trust, and believing in God. And folks, I know you have heard several people say this. I know you probably encounter people like this. Oh, I have the faith, but I just don't believe. Oh, I trust, but I just don't have the faith. Oh, I believe, but I don't trust and have the faith. You see, my friends, when they're talking like that, basically what that's telling me, something's wrong. When you and I are really submitting ourselves to Him, We're doing so by faith, trust, and believing. We do this because we believe in what he says. Now, before I get into why I believe in God, I'm sure almost every one of you here tonight have or will encounter some rigid atheist at some point in your life. Or you probably have encountered them in your lives for real. Now this kind of person, my friends, this person rejects even the most compelling apologetics and is unpersuaded by the classic arguments for God's existence. Now, in what I have studied, watched, read, and looked at and listened to, here are the atheist reasons why they do not believe in God. Here is the atheist reasons why they do not believe in God. Reason one is, I can be good without God. Really? Reason two is, the Bible is not enough evidence. Reason three for them, I have unanswered questions. Reason four, I went too far in the religious spectrum. Now, folks, I saved the best for last. It's simply a choice. In the end, my friends, it all comes down to making a choice. There's no evidence that proves or disproves the existence of God. Probably it would take hundreds, if not thousands, of years to finally figure things out. None of us, my friends, knows all there is to know. None of us knows the answers to everything. We will one day when we stand before the Lord Almighty, but right now on this earth, no, none of us does. So until that day of enlightenment, men are left to speculate and choose what we believe in. As for non-believers, they choose not to believe in God. There are many of their reasons for not believing in God, and bottom line, it's the choice that they are making. Some, I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth. God's word is the truth. Some are already condemned. John chapter 3, verse 18. They are already condemned. How sad. So now are my reasons why I believe in God. Now, I want you to know something, my friends. I didn't grow up going to church or reading the Bible or learning about Jesus. I'm not sure exactly, or really, I'm not sure exactly what was the furthest thing from being a Christian is. Basically, I didn't believe in God. Quite frankly, I didn't care. I didn't. But at the age of 42, I picked up a Bible for the first time in a long, long, long time. Most of it was in part to my wife's medical issues that she was facing. Me, as I said, I had no interest or intentions of becoming a Christian. I liked who I was, and I had no need for God, period. My thought was, she needed God to get her through her medical issues, and she needed to get right with him. But several months later, my heart was forever changed, and I discovered who Jesus really was. What happened, you asked? Well, the Bible happened. Faith in God by hearing the Word of God. And by reading the Bible, it led me to believe in God and that He was real. Now, you might be wondering, okay, why or how? I'm glad that you might be thinking that or going, why or how? How did it happen, Jim? Well, allow me to share with you four reasons that led me to believe in God. Reason one, manuscript evidence. Reason two, historical accuracy. Reason three, Jesus. And the fourth reason, best of all, love. This alone should be enough for us, and this is all that we should need. In general, belief in God is the most basic of all human considerations. Acknowledgement of one's creator is the foundational to learning any more about him. Without believing in God, it is impossible to please him or even come to him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Look, my friends, people are surrounded with proof of God's existence. And it is only through the hardening of sin that men reject that proof. You can read so in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. It is foolish to disbelieve in God. Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. Now, there are two choices in life. Two. First, we have the choice to trust in man's limited reasoning. A man's reason has produced various philosophies, the many world religions, different cults, and other ideas and world views. A key characteristic of man's reason is that it does not last, for man himself is not lasting. It is also limited by man's finite knowledge. We are not as wise as we think we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Man's reason starts with himself and ends with himself. Man lives in time's box with no way out. Man is born, grows to maturity, makes his impact on the world, and eventually dies. That is, it's for him, naturally speaking. The choice to live by reasons leaves one weighed in a balance and found wanting. If a person objectively thinks about such a lifestyle, it should cause him or her to consider a second choice. If they really think about such a lifestyle that they are living, it should cause them to think about the second choice I'm fixing to mention to you. And the second choice is, we have to accept God's revelation in the Bible. Very simple. You can trust a man's limited reasoning, or you can choose to accept God's revelation in the Bible, His holy words. Why I say this? Another one of my favorite passages. To lean not on your own understanding. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now, of course, to accept that the Bible is from God. Let me back up a little bit. I don't want to get too fast and tongue-tied with this. And these atheists might hate this when I say this. But, my friends, to accept that the Bible is from God, one must acknowledge God. Belief in God or the Bible does not negate the use of reason. Rather, it is when we seek God that He opens our eyes. Psalms 119:18. He enlightens our understanding. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He grants us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. Read the whole chapter. Friends, the Word is real. The Word is real. True. The Word is proof. What more do we need? What more do we need? Many of us gets caught up in debating whether God exists, and we never get past that question. But the goal of life isn't figuring out whether He exists. It's taking that as a giving and proceeding from there. Do you get that? Now the real question, how do you know if you believe in God? Very simple, right? How do you know? How do you know if you believe in God? Well, the answer to that, my friends, is this. It depends on what you mean by believing in God. Because you can, in your mind, you can believe in God without trusting Him, without loving Him, or knowing Him. For example, my friends, Satan and his demons believe that God exists, James chapter 2, verse 19. But they also hate God. So just believing in God doesn't really mean anything. Many people, I know you have heard many of them say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God, but not Jesus." Say what? Are you kidding me? Who you think God is? Oh, I know Jesus, but I don't like God. Oh, really? Something's wrong here, isn't it? Many would say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Yep, I call myself a Christian." But, their actions sure don't show it. I'm confused. See, folks, many times people will say, "Hey, I believe in God," but it absolutely has no bearing on their lives. None. A lot of times I see people, and I know you have encountered them, when they run into some sort of difficulty. "Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, please get me through this. Oh, God, help me out of this fix. Oh, God, can you... Can you Can you help me through this difficulty? They start believing in God then. And I don't say God doesn't help them or not, folks. That's not up to me to say that, because the Bible does say he reigns on the just and the unjust. But I always find it funny when no one wants nothing to do with God, but the moment they get some bad news or troubles or trials or whatever it may be, they start crying out to God. Wow. Seriously? If they really knew who God was, I'm telling you right now, they would live differently. They would put their lives into his hands. So the mere intellectual belief that God exists isn't much of a big deal. If Satan and every demon in hell believes God exists, then why is it that men, with all of its intelligence, cannot believe in God? Why is it? Why is it with all their intelligence they cannot believe in God? Think about that one. Think about it. And in closing, I thought about this a lot, my friends. I really did. You know, whenever I made that statement just now, why is it so hard for people to believe in God? I said earlier, look, all you got to do is go walk outside your house. Basically, you ain't even got to do that. You're right here, right now, breathing, ain't you? Fix this joke. Went the wrong way. Get some water. I was trying to make it all straight. If you'd have seen me, I was breathing. But you're breathing air right now, are you? If not, I think all y'all would be dead in the room laying in the chair. So I hope you are alive. I hope that you are. But like I said, it doesn't take much for you and I to believe in God when we see all his wonderful attributes, his glory, his creation, his life. Just look at yourself in the mirror, and that should say right there alone, God is real. Now, like I said, those who believe in God have to go one step further and say that they trust in God. They put their faith in him. They believe who he is, who the Bible says he is, and that he loves them more than you can ever imagine. That's wonderful. And if you know who God is, you will want to turn your will over to him, all 100%. Because why I'm saying this, you turn your will over to him 100% because you, my friend, you trust him with your life. You trust that his plans for you are far better than the plans that you made for yourself. But if you don't really believe that God is the loving and wonderful God of the Bible, that who knows you intimately, who loves you passionately, you'll never feel free to trust him with your life. You will always hang back out of fear. That's, my friends, is a trick. And you or being hoodwinked. If you don't trust God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, all of your soul, and if you're always hanging back out of fear for not letting it go, then friends, it's a trick that Satan is putting into your mind, and you are being hoodwinked. And sadly, I see many Christians not willing to trust. Oh, I got a trust issue, Brother Jim. I believe in him, but I got a trust issue. I believe in him. I got a trust issue. Man, no, you don't. You're not letting yourself go. You're not releasing that fear. Almost everything in life, my friends, is a judgment call. In a criminal cases in court of law, there is a required standard of proof known as beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to weigh the evidence and make the judgment. You aren't saying that the evidence falls completely on one side and that it's an open and shut case. You are weighing the evidence on both sides of the argument and ultimately making a judgment call. But when it comes to God, people say that's unless, and this is what I have heard many times, when it comes to God, people will say, unless they know every little thing and solve every mystery and see proof that he exists, they will not make a decision. Wow. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself if those people really want to make a decision in their lives. Maybe they don't want to make a decision. So they use this as an excuse to get out of it. Many use it as an excuse to continue in their lifestyles because they are afraid of knowing the real truth. They are afraid because they already know the truth. There is a God. And that's why they do what they do, to use it as an excuse to get away from him. Paul said that he and his disciples didn't believe in myths and fairy tales. It's not enough that the Bible is full of nice ideas. What it says must be real and true. The way history is real and true. Or else, we're simply kidding ourselves. Friends, the best decision I have made to this date is the decision to give my life to God. His son Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He walks with me. He talks with me. He called me his friend. He gave up his life for me on that cross. I hate to think where my life would be today if God was not a central part of it. He is real. I have found what I was looking for, and I will never look back on that old life. Now, I just look forward to the new life in Christ of what he has in store for me. Friends, I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus found you. You were lost, and our Lord found you. Believe me, if God can forgive me of all the things I've done in my life and change me into a new person, then He can forgive you of what you did. Make a choice and believe by faith with trust in Him, and He will come to you. Friends, Jesus said it Himself, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let Him in? Would you let Him change you? The choice is yours. Which choice will you make? Let's hope, my friends, it's the correct one before it's really too late for you. God is real. Look at me for the proof. Look at you for the proof. He changed me. He changed you. I know it. You know it. He can also change you if you don't believe in Him. All you have to do is accept Him. Acknowledge Him. Will you let Him in? He's calling out to you. Will you answer the call? The choice is yours. Which will it be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just standing here to pray to you, and I know maybe, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but it's just a message you led me to preach to tie in this three-part series. But I did think a lot about why we should believe. I really did. And it kind of made me dig a little bit deeper. I had not thought of these thoughts in a very long time. I have to have that faith. I have to have the trust. I really need to believe. And if my belief wavers at times, just like that gentleman said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Father, help me with my unbeliefs at times. Sometimes when we are placed with decisions we have to make, sometimes we allow that fear to get into our lives. And sometimes we're afraid to step out on faith. Sometimes we're afraid to witness to a person. Sometimes we're afraid to tell someone about Jesus. Sometimes we hesitate to, you know, I should have went did this when I felt you calling me. I should have did this when you was tugging at my heart. But yet, you know, I held back for some particular reason. Father, I don't want to be like this no more. I'm going to believe that you're going to take care of all things, regardless of what we are facing in our lives. So I want you to know I love you. I thank you. Best of all, thank you for saving me. I really would hate to see where I would be at now if you had not intervened into my life. So Father, I want to thank you tonight from the very bottom of my heart, with all of my praise and all of my thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray to you. Amen.